Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silva, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Choose your heart as a master. Welcome to Cosmic Reality Radio. It is April 16th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard, and this is a Cosmic Reality Radio production, and I guess I'll unmute them and say, hi guys, how are you doing today?
Hello.
Hi Nancy, hi y'all out there, hi Walt.
Hello Dolly. Her name is Dolly, but her kids call her, Mom, you're grossing me out.
What?
She's been telling stories off before you got on air?
No, we were talking about that video that you posted in the chat room.
Yeah, I got the image right here. I'm going to post it for Dolly to see what I was talking about. Okay, let me see. This is for Dolly. Hello, Dolly. Okay.
Here it is. Have I told you lately, Walt, that I love you?
Huh?
I love you.
Thank you, but I don't know why.
Because you're you. I tell Nancy all the time.
Well, Nancy yells at me because she says, I shouldn't be talking to you like you talk to her. And I said, well, she's 5 years old to me. Why should I not talk to her like that? There you have it. See that? Isn't that the same shape that appears in the sky over in that video?
Yeah, that's the same thing
in
that video.
It's exactly the same shape. Well, this is supposedly a photo of that Dark Knight mysterious satellite that's 50,000 years old. I don't know who went up there to take the age of it, but that's why that video, that Paris video, looks like edited. First, everything is accelerated, moving at extremely fast, and then the image appears in the sky and disappears. It looks like I'm not saying UFOs don't exist. I'm just saying that the video looks an edited video. And so I could have taken this image, masked out the sky, grabbed the image alone, and just added it to a video if I had video editing software, but I don't. So that's
well, okay. That's all very, very, very true. All right. What you're talking about is the Black Knight. And
oh, okay.
I think it was Galileo that somehow or another, somebody saw it and started the story, but they've actually got this picture, they've got another one that looks like it from the space station. I mean, it's something that, you can say that anything is doctored, all right?
Yeah.
Now, what I find kind of, well, all right, I'm beginning to feel like I'm under a microscope. And that somebody keeps giving me these little, like a mice, you know, here's a maze. Go see if you how fast are you going to get through this one, right?
Jeez.
And I don't know whether I'm failing or whether I'm succeeding, because it seems like they keep giving me more and more clues.
Yeah, well, did you read what I typed in our Skype chat
about
earlier?
What? Well... Oh, yes, about, earlier.
Yeah, way earlier. They woke me up way early to pray for the good guys.
Okay, so what
Go ahead.
Okay, so what happened was yesterday, Michael, and I wasn't even going to talk about this because this was, like, really kind of out there. Okay, but then I'm searching for something to talk about tonight, and I find this video, and I went, oh, this is too easy. Got through this maze without even thinking. Okay, so I'm on Skype with Michael and Eleni, his wife, okay? So we're talking about the show that we're going to do on Wednesday, tomorrow. And all of a sudden, Michael says... Eleni's just showed me something. Apparently, the Notre Dame is on fire. And I said, oh, really? So we leave that conversation and start looking at any relative information that's there. And sure enough, it's on fire. The spire has already fallen by now. And You know, we get into a very interesting conversation about the history of Notre Dame that we're going to cover tomorrow, even though it's a 5G show. We're going to cover it tomorrow. Michael knows a tremendous amount about that because it was the Knight Templars. They're involved in it. Okay. So, I mean, it's just amazing. I can't even get into it because he's the one that knows. I basically said, stop telling me the story. We'll talk about it, you know. But anyway, so I'm on with them, and, you know, anytime you have something like this, you get like a red flag, here, over here, because I've had many occasions where I get, somebody says, oh, look at this, this is happening, and boom, I do a spontaneous remote to whatever is happening. So this was like, okay, well, let me look at this, let me see what's happening. So I go to Paris, and I'm in front of the church, and there was so much, oh my God, the grief, the anxiety, the energies, the emotions. I'm going like, I'm out of here. I backed right out of it. I said, I can't do this. I said, I've got to get in front of the fire before it happened. So I get back out, I get settled, I go back in, and I'm in the church before the fire starts. And I'm in the, I know I'm in the back of the church. That was where I decided I didn't want to end up where people, you know, tourists and stuff are in the middle. I said, look, just get me to the church where people would have, if somebody was doing it, you know, they would have been where other people aren't. Take me where they might have started. So I, boom, all of a sudden I'm in this. Well, it was the church, but you know, it's stone. It's got that weird ancient cold age and time and stone, and you know, it's weird. But anyway, I get there and I'm like, there's nobody here. It was absolutely dark. It was dark in there. I mean, there was some light. Like, I wasn't in pitch black, but there was some light. But there wasn't anybody there, and I'm going to myself, there's nobody here. And all of a sudden, there's an explosion above me. And I'm going like, what the hell? And I kind of look up, but sometimes when you do something in a remote where you're, like when I looked up, okay, I looked up because I was startled, and that kind of started throwing me out of the remote, and I had to grab back onto it, and I went, what is it? What's happening? And I get this download. Oh, well, it was us. And I'm telling, as I'm doing all this, I'm relating it to Michael and Eleni. And I said, oh, I said, it was a DEW attack. And they said, by whom? And I said,
wait, what's a DEW?
A direct energy weapon.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I said, and they said, well, by whom? And I said, the good guys. And they said, I said, all right, wait a minute. I said, let me ask, let me get to this. And I said, okay, apparently this was before I'd actually had the conversation about the history of the church. I said, okay, apparently this church has been built on some kind of a vortex, and the dark side is trying to activate it, or it's activating on itself. I can't figure that one out, but, they wanted it stopped, the good guys. And so they just took out the spire and caused a fire. And, you know,
the good guys caused the fire.
The good guys caused the fire.
To stop the bad guys from doing what?
Opening up a vortex of energy.
Oh, I knew it.
Okay. So, yes. So then I see this craft that pops out in the middle. See, well, this is why I believe it, because I had already gotten a message that that's exactly what had happened. You know, and to see this video that, you know, essentially the thing comes out, it sits there, it starts the fire, it goes away.
Yeah, well, it makes more sense when, because I saw the news report that there had been some accident because they were doing construction. It didn't sound right at all. It sounded like something deliberate. I mean, to me, that's how it felt. So it makes sense that it would have been a directed energy weapon. And, you know, these places have been used for such dark magic for so long. I'm sorry, but that's not a holy house by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care how That's not a house of God. Let's put it that way.
No, it's not. I agree completely.
So, but while I was asking around in that little remote thingy, right, and I'm going like, why, you know, why we're doing this and getting the vortex information, and then the next thing I heard was Rome is next. So I'm not, I have not, all I'm telling you is what I observed or what I heard. Now, a good portion
of... I wouldn't be surprised if they destroyed those 13 obelisks, because it's not an accident that if you look at the map of Rome and you look at specifically at the area of the Vatican, there's this giant circle. I don't know how far away they are from the Vatican proper, if they're close to the boundary line that denotes the Vatican from the rest of the city. But they're surrounded by 13 obelisks. And these things are really, some of them are, I think some of them are from Egypt. I don't remember. I haven't studied this.
I think they're all from Egypt.
They're all from Egypt. And it's like a protection grid for them, for the bad guys. Those things should be destroyed.
Well, if I just don't want them destroying the library. The Vatican Library, you know?
Well, that's underground, and that should be emptied out, because I know how many authors have I read claiming exactly the same thing, that when the library of Alexandria was burned to the ground, what was lost, it was just administrative papers and just, you know, normal bureaucracy. The true records of ancient knowledge and information, those were abducted. They were taken from the library before it burnt. And I've read many authors that claim that it's hidden down there in the underground library of the Vatican. The repository they have there of ancient information is tremendous.
You know what the real telltale sign is, that it was the good guys and not the black guys?
Mm.
Nobody died. Nobody was hurt.
Body count. The difference is body count.
You know, and the other thing I said to Michael after a bit, I said, you watch. I said, this is the Reichstag burning down. They're going to blame the yellow vests, right? And it wasn't like I'd gotten a message of it. It was just like, you know, because we were talking about, well, who they going, you know, how they're going to explain it, right? And so, I decide I'm going to go over to, one of the CNN or one of those things to see what mainstream media was carrying on it. It was CNN, I think, and to see what they were saying about it. And don't you know, the yellow vests were brought up with this one woman. And it wasn't like they started it. It's like, oh, the Paris doesn't need this. The people don't need this in Paris. We've already been confronting these yellow vests and a couple of other things, you know. But it was like, uh-huh. But I guess they're going to blame it on construction. It wasn't. Let's assume, Walt, that somebody really was mucking around and just created that photograph, that video. Okay? A, this happened yesterday. That was pretty fast that you did that. And B, I had seen it happen. You know? So,
yeah, I don't deny it. I'm just, I wasn't saying that UFOs don't exist. All I was saying is that the video looked kind of like an edited video, but then anyway, what do I know? I'm not a video editor.
Right. And also, when I saw it, you know, it was like, okay, that's such a familiar look. I've seen that before, you know, right? That was familiar to me, but I didn't make the connection to the Black Knight. And yes, that's very, very similar. Now, the Black Knight, what I know of it, it's not manned. It's been there for eons, and it essentially sits in the etheric for the most part, And every once in a while, it kind of pops out, takes a reading on the planet, and then kind of goes back into the etheric. I suspect it might be doing that for other places, not just Earth, because it doesn't seem to be sitting there all the time. It's like fades
sitting
in and out.
Sitting where?
It's above the North Pole.
Oh.
That's where it's situated. It's in the north, right above the North Pole. Well, above the opening to the hollow planet. So that was a real good grab, you know, that you made that connection, because, you know, for all I know, they decided that whoever is behind it, you know, because the key to any of this concept of galactic help, you know, or dimensional help, whoever it is, the out-of-towners, is it, we have to ask for it, you know. We have to claim dominion on the planet, and then we have to ask for, you know, them to assist us. Because they can't do anything. It's the prime directive. You know, you can't muddle unless you're asked. That they don't tell you that in Star Trek, but unless you're asked. And so a lot of people have already asked, so it's conceivable that, you know, they saw a situation arising, and I know it all had to do with heavy, dark ceremonial magic. You know, whoever's doing whatever they're doing, and apparently, well, we know that all these cities and the different, like even buildings, post offices and banks, and they're all put on PowerPoints, you know, ley lines. And that the big places are on major, major PowerPoints. So maybe they're trying to activate the PowerPoints. Maybe they realize the 5G option is being taken off the table. It's waking people up too damn fast. Maybe there's stargates there. I don't know. But, yeah, that was a real clear reading to me. But, again, it was like, I wasn't even going to say anything about it because, you know, I mean, I don't want people thinking I'm crazy or something. But now I've got video proof of what I had said at the time that, it, you know, while it was burning. So there.
Well, did you look at the pictures?
I looked at some of them, but, you know, I was also producing today, so I didn't get through them all. But talk about them because you seem to, talk about them.
I gotta find them. Hold on. We're in our conversation. Well, actually,
I'll find it.
I want to put the sites in the chat room.
Okay.
Hold on. I saved a little thingy so I can copy and paste to the people so they know what the poop I'm talking about. Where is it? Notre Dame. Here we go. Open up file. There we go. Okay. The first one I'm going to post in there, if I can do this right, is what Macaroni
yeah.
guy said.
Macaroni.
And, oops. Ah, yes. Fooey.
Did you put it in chat yet?
No, I'm still trying.
All right, I've got it. I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
I have it.
And do you have the pictures?
Yeah, I got the picture ones.
And, okay. Because I want them to see the pictures that I'm talking about as I go along, maybe.
Yep.
And, okay. Now, where was our conversation?
I put it in there.
Nancy, yep, here we are. We are home.
I got it in there already.
Okay. I'm just... Oh, you got the whole conversation?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't put the whole conversation in. You want
that? Oh,
that
okay. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Oh, all right. You want me to do that? How close are
you? You got the pictures in there, right?
Right. And I'm going to go and I'm going to put this one in there, which you said at the time.
In the picture...
It's in, okay.
Oh, let me go back to this and take a look. Oh, yay. Okay, y'all. So in the first picture, if you open it up, there's an X in the sky made with chemtrails right over the fire.
Yeah.
So what's that all about? X marks the spot. In picture 11 of 42, notice there's a man in a suit with the beard. Notice his hands.
Wait a minute. We got to get to that thing, because this is not an easy thing to... They don't show... You can't just jump to a picture.
You got to go by
you gotta go. And it was... What number was it?
Hold on. I was trying to pull him up. Hold on. Just
42. What'd you say? What was in it? What'd you just read? Was it 42?
Hold on.
Oops.
Okay, it was 11. Picture 11 of 42.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, okay.
There's a man in a suit.
This is 11 of 60, not 42 pictures.
Ooh,
I may have added some more.
42, yeah. Well, it's picture 11.
Well, it's an image of the cathedral, and there's two firemen in front of the cathedral. That's what I'm looking at.
In picture 11?
Yeah.
It says it. Oh, hold on, Walter.
Evan, let me grab it, and I'll put it on chat.
Oh, these are different pictures. These are not the right pictures. No, I'm going to close out of this. Those are not the right pictures.
Okay, let me go back. This is slide 11 from that series of photos.
Yeah, let me go back to where I had copied that. Okay, I'm going to copy and paste the pictures that I am referring to into chat. Copy. Oh, yay. Thank you. Where's the chat now? Here it is. Copy. Paste. Okay, now this, let me open this, what I put in here, and see if it's the one that I had, was looking at it 5 this morning, 5:30. Yeah, because there's the X in picture 1. Now let's go to see, oh, son of a, they changed all these pictures.
It is actually an interesting, if you look at number 9, and you see that beautiful, beautiful statue that I didn't even remember was in Notre Dame. And, cause what happened really was that the fire took out the roof, but the stone structure itself, you know, stood. The roof is down, and so things were, you know, damaged. But in number 9, okay, if you look at that, the stained glass windows are still in.
Yeah.
They might be damaged, you know, but that statue looks like it's absolutely pristine.
And the cross.
You mean like the trees where the house was completely burned and the trees were intact? Like that?
Yeah.
Well, let me scan through here and see if where I can find happen? The ones I saw. And that big, in number 11 picture of 60, see that big... Big whopping wagon wheel thing.
Right.
That was really freaky in that one picture I was looking at.
Well, I think all that black is soot.
No, there was. Yeah, well, that could be because the one I'm talking about had the red coming through it. Oh, jeez, it gave my whole body, goosebumps, and my hair stood up, and I didn't feel too good about looking at that picture. I wish this would have been the same thing that I was talking about. Doc, oh, look at that, 15 of 60. Wow, there's that thing in the doorway there, that statue. Doc, I bet the ones that I was concerned about aren't even there now.
You know. When I was talking with Michael, he was talking about a certain two different one of these statue things. You know, and he was really concerned. They're probably gone. You know. And so I just kind of, because we had the pictures up, so I focused on the pictures, and I said to him, you know, I feel like they're okay. I didn't feel like they were damaged. And I think it was the same. I've been looking at all these facade type of things to see if I could see them, but if those things survived, that was another thing that I saw at the time. And if I could say I saw that, then maybe, you know, I think they got done in by somebody trying to save us.
You think so?
But the directed energy beam, was it just aimed at the structure itself, or did it go deep underground?
No, because it happened all above me.
Oh.
It was in the spire. They used it. Okay. This is.
So the spire may have been the emitting component, maybe like an antenna type.
Well, it, you know, symbology, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, so I don't take anything that I happen to be brought in to look at as being just, you know, chance. My guides are continually directing me to look at something because it's going to make sense in the scheme of something more. And I got watching America Unearthed with Scott Woolby, I think is his name.
Yeah.
And he was in D.C. Now, we all know that there's all these stories about the geometry of the street makeup in D.C. And it's the people that were involved in the planning and the building, they were all Freemasons. So if there's a lot of Freemasonry in the city streets, it doesn't necessarily mean it was a conspiracy of these people to create this. They were architects that were also Masons. They may have just been doing it because they were Masons, because different areas were done by different people at different times, but all Freemasons. But this time, there's this guy from England, and he shows up on this show quite often. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. And he was bringing something different to the table, because Scott really looks at a lot of the what would you call it, the hidden history, the lies, archaeology that's involved in so many different areas of the United States, that says that the history was much different than what we've been told. So he's followed the Knight Templars. He sees Templar imagery in all sorts of things, but he also follows the concept of the divine goddess, because a lot of that secret, let's say, community really are, you know, closeted goddess worshipers. So this guy from England that meets Scott in D.C. has got an added kind of whammy to this thing, in that He has researched the concept of the megalithic yard. Have you ever heard of that term, Walt? Megalithic yard? I hope I'm getting it right.
Well, megalithic refers to the old, almost Stone Age type stuff, the like giant rocks that are all over the world and nobody knows who put them there, because you would require tremendous heavy, like for example, Stonehenge would be something megalithic in that sense. Even with modern machinery, nobody could assemble that stuff. Is that what he's researching?
Well, it's a way of measurement, and it's based on, I don't remember what the, it's like 2.6 instead of 3 feet in the megalithic conversion. And they continually, in megalithic structures, they use 366 megalithic yards. It's some kind of course, 366 was the year at that time. They didn't do this 365 and the quarter, you know, leap year and stuff. And it was a very sacred symbol, sacred measurement, I guess. And he starts to show Scott all of the 366 megalithic yard measurements that are involved in this DC thing. I mean, it was crazy. But, I mean, they even went and talked to this guy that used to be the Masonic, head of the big Masonic lodge there. And they were seeing V's. V's is an ancient symbol for the goddess. A lot of, but you know, you can tell, well, it was all, you know, I mean, there's so much controversy. But what really got to me was they started to, the English guy goes over to the Washington Monument, okay, that phallic symbol in the middle of the Washington Square thing. Commons, and he starts to look at the grounds around it differently, and then they started showing photographs of it, and don't you know that in the in this area where the Washington Monument is, this phallic symbol sticking right up out of the ground, one of the high, it was the highest, I think it's the highest structure of its kind. But even now, but there were these circles, and the circles, you know, if you take two circles and you push them together so that they overlap a little bit, you got that. Walt, help me here. It's the Vesica Pisces.
You mean the Vesica Pisces?
Vesica Pisces. I never get that Vesica Pisces thing. Okay, you got the Vesica Pisces, which is a symbol for fertility and the goddess. Because that's exactly what happens when a sperm and an egg get together. You know, that same, they come together that way. And out of that very, you know, the duality, the balance between the male and the female, that's where life, that's where the egg starts to become real. It starts to duplicate and do all that other stuff. So here you've got, I had never looked at it this way, but you've got this massive phallic symbol coming right out of the Vesica, what is it again?
Vesica Pisces.
Vesica Pisces. Right out of it. It's like, you know, such a an unbelievable symbol, but again, it's a phallic symbol. That all of a sudden I became, you know, like, wow, this is really amazing. And the next day, this spire collapses, another phallic symbol collapses. You know, it wasn't just stopping whatever they were doing from a standpoint of, you know, ceremonial magic. It was a clear cut, you know, to me, symbol that, you know, the male dominated planet is over. Boom. Because if you look at the pictures of the fire, it was that, it was all concentrated in that spire and below it. And when I was in the remote, whatever happened right above me. And I felt like I'd already seen the pictures, so I knew that that's where the fire started. That's one of the reasons I was drawn to the back of the church, too. Was, yeah, and that's where they would start the fire, so let's go there. So I suspect I might have been right underneath the spire. But there was definitely an explosion. And it wasn't like what happened with the Twin Towers. This is more like what happened to Paradise, California.
You know, yeah, because it was almost surgical in its precision.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, this would be considered a very low level, you know, DEW weapon, because
if they had upped the wattage, they would have gone. That's why I was asking you if there was something underground that they wanted to stop or destroy, because they could have gone straight underground if they just upped the wattage output of this thing.
No,
you think a pile of rocks is going to limit them?
No, it didn't go, because otherwise I'd have been fried. Whoops, bad remote. Bad decision there.
No, just shut off the TV, just shut off the screen, that's all.
Oh my God. But, yeah. So, but, okay, Dolly, you saw the pictures. Just describe to us what you were seeing in those pictures, even though we can't seem to find them.
Oh, I've been typing it in the chat room. I'm on 51, picture 51 of the ones we have now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at the spiral, and over to the right, down the spiral, almost touching that little stuff that's sticking up on the building, on the main building. What is that image in the fire, in the smoke? See the image in the smoke?
Are you talking 50 or 51?
50, sorry.
You mean the thing on the right side of it that looks like it's a spacecraft that's coming into the smoke?
Yes.
I think it's probably a helicopter.
Oh, well, the bottom does. Well, it could be.
Because there were three helicopters that were in most of those pictures.
Oh, I see the sun. Somebody was talking about the sun. I see the sun. I am finding the pictures, and I've been typing it in the chat room. There's that one. Okay. 56. You see the three big, huge birds up above the fire? How many times have you seen birds fly over a fire? Are those really birds? Just throwing the question out.
I have so many thingies up, and I have no idea where I put that thing. So now I'm going to... Oh, God, this is crazy. Walt, I think I might have 70 of them up now.
I have a hard time following what number to what number, because they don't have these things marked, so... It's not
on
like
the
there's
bottom.
No, because what I did is, in order to be able to go faster through them, I opened it full screen. So you get one image up in front of you, and then all the other thumbnails are at the bottom. So you're going to have to scroll back and forth and look for the ones you want.
That would confuse the heck out of me.
Well, at least I can move faster through the images.
But you don't know which one it is.
Exactly. I don't have a number. So I just go by what you guys are describing.
Which number was it, Dolly?
56.
56. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And I saw them in another picture too, but I only saw them in those two pictures that and it just makes me wonder, well, how many birds have you ever seen fly into smoke over a fire? Are those birds? And they're awfully big if they are.
Yeah, comparing the scale, now I got it, I opened it. Comparing the scale of that cupola, the like cupola type structure against the apparent size of the birds, I get it that there's a perspective. That's really huge. I've seen pictures of condors. These things are very big.
Are you sure they're not the helicopters?
Helicopters have
wings, look at them.
Nails.
Those aren't helicopters.
I haven't even gotten to it yet. What am I looking for?
Let me grab the image and I'll
56.
Put it
on. I know, but I don't have the thingy up. What else is in the thing?
Hold on, I'll put it in chat. It's a cupola on fire.
Oh, that's insane.
Yes.
There it is. I just put it in the chat. Did the chat grab it? Or
what the heck are those things?
I know that was the bee.
That looks big enough to be a condor, because the wingspan is huge.
They are humongous.
In scale, I mean, you think, okay, there. We're looking at an angle, because obviously whoever took the photo is either on the ground or up or in some kind of elevation. So it's angled upward. So we're seeing these things, although they look to be on top of the fire, obviously way behind the fire. And you take into account the angle and the altitude. Still, they're very large.
Yeah,
they're
because
flying in the smoke over the fire.
Yes, because if you find one of those that pans out, okay, you'll see how high these things are from the ground. this guy doesn't even look like he's in the ground. He looks like he's across the street. He's not on the ground. These things, he's looking at the top of this. So from the ground, these things would still be huge.
And when I zoomed open, I know I made it open and get bigger. As I look at these three objects, there are like bubbles surrounding them, around the shape of them.
Yeah, that's the graininess of the resolution.
Why isn't it that way in the rest of the picture?
It depends on, not all the photos were taken by the same person, I don't think. They just
it's the same picture. Why? It's only around the birds. Why wouldn't the spiral have those little bubbles around it? If it's what you said, with the grain or something.
Because they're farther away. The farther away you get, the lower the resolution, the lower the details. So instead of looking nice and sharp, like something close by, it will look more blurry.
Oh, there's those little bubbles. If you look over to the right, on this where it's got like chimneys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 chimneys sitting on top of the part of the building that juts out there, that has bubbles around it too. And that's not so far away.
The floor of this thing must be like a pool of lead, because this thing is 850 years old. And back in the olden days, lead was used as a sealant for piping, like the drainage for the rainwater. What do they call them? You know, the sewers. All of that stuff used to be sealed with lead. You know, way before people understood how poisonous lead was. So with this amount of fire and heat, I wouldn't be surprised the floor of this place is. It's now coated in lead.
I was thinking more along the lines of spiritual type, either good or bad beings.
Was there a semi naked fat guy outside playing a violin?
Where?
It's a historical joke. The story goes that Emperor Nero, during the Roman Empire, because you know this from your school history, that there was a year where Rome burnt to the ground.
No, I didn't have history like that.
Oh, okay. Well, Nancy must have, because she's a history major. And Nero played music. He actually laughed and danced when Rome burnt. He was crazy out of his head anyway.
he fiddled as it burned, and they blamed it on the Christians, but it was him. And you know, it's such an old
song. Another false flag, right? The inventors of the flag, and they haven't changed the playbook since.
Well, you know, no, they haven't, because there's a lot of. You know, maybe it's true that they burned California so they'd have this empty ground that they could build whatever they want to build. But what seems to have been around behind it is that they wanted the property that the Christians had. So they burned it all to the ground, blamed it on the Christians, persecuted the Christians, and took their land. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Jeez. Well, I don't see the other pictures that I saw that pulled my attention. Hold on, let me see. Oh, yeah, there's that woman. Is that the black sun thingy? Yeah, that round thing that looks like a wheel. Is that the black sun thingy people talk about? What is that?
It's actually a symbol that comes from the Knight Templar's time. Because I said that to Michael. I said, Michael, what is that symbol? And he proceeded to show me. But I don't exactly remember what it is. It's not the black sun as we know it, although I have to admit it certainly had me thinking the same thing.
Did me. And then where did I go for picture 20. Looks to me like a... Oh, yeah. That picture wasn't even in the 60 pictures that were here. There was a picture with the fire and smoke coming out of the top. And the smoke part was white. On the side of the smoke part, up kind of in the middle, on the right, there was the side, like a silhouette of a head. I mean, it was just right there. That, and it was delineated by the different, by the brownish color of it versus the white smoke coming next to it. And that was kind of creepy.
Is that before or after the bird picture?
That was after the bird picture. And I didn't find it in the ones, the pictures we just looked at. Let's see, I see this above cathedral to the left. The brown toward the top is the top of the head I'm talking about. In picture 35, in the middle top, the brownish cloud, I see the side profile of a face. Yeah, it sticks out like a sore thumb to me. And it did. It just looked, there it was. 32, the huge birds, yeah. Yeah. And that was the last one that I made a notation of, is the birds. Dolly, you know what it is? They have updated it with more pictures. Yeah, I know. But they even took out some of them. Wow. It just, when I saw those pictures, it just, I was wondering, okay, is the devil being released? Why is it only burning in one area? And I never thought that maybe it was the good purging or stopping the bad from doing something. I like that thought better than the way my mind was going.
Is your posse staying quiet about it, or are they saying something?
I hear nothing.
They're not allowed to talk about it, or what?
I just hear nothing. It's like they went mute.
Oh.
There's nothing, Walt. I don't feel
them. They're just eating popcorn while they watch the action?
I guess. I have never felt.
Where this are before. You guys when Dolly needs you?
This is kind of, ooh, I don't like that.
They're having
when I can't feel them, I don't like it. I haven't not felt them before. Okay, I'm in a bad place right now.
Huh. Hey, we shouldn't be looking at these photos so much. Bad vibes.
I don't know, but my.
I'm going to shut off this page anyway.
Jeez, I feel like I'm all alone in the world.
Oh, no. It's not their thing. This is a game between good and evil. And, you know, sometimes the other guys can't comment on it. I've got to get out of this. I've gotten lost. I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh jeez. I forgot what we were doing. I thought we were just having a little conversation. We're actually live on radio. Okay. All right. I'm back.
Oh, goody. See, I don't think those were too good for us to look at.
No, because
you got lost. Walt doesn't feel too good about it. I feel completely abandoned right now.
Well, I'm throwing you a hug. Giving you a little hug. I know it's not
funny that. It's funny that in this week's report, Fulford has mentioned something that we've spoken about in other shows. predictive programming, how they'll make a movie about something that they plan to do and that they do it.
So they did what? What are you alluding to? Is this in the movie? Did Notre Dame?
No, it's toward the end of the report. He brings up the subjects.
Yeah. Well, when I was looking at the pictures, especially the ones that were originally out, when I was looking at them, I've been doing this for so long. I look for their branding. You know, what images are kind of like frozen in people's minds?
You mean like piles of shoes?
Say again?
Like piles of shoes?
Well, that wouldn't. These out of these pictures, and it was that one where the spire is burning. You know, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going like, okay, so we've got a phallic symbol in flames. What other symbols are there? And it was the one that she asked about. You know, she said, she being Dolly, she asked about that particular image. The wheel thing that was up there. So this is, let me get, where would I have put it? Oh, Lord. Can you...
Well, it's also going with that symbology analysis that you're doing, where it's the phallic symbol that was literally destroyed. Do you find significance in the fact that all the copper statues denoting male figures had been removed? And when you look at some of those pictures of the inside, all those statues that are intact happen to be female forms. You know that you could notice that detail?
Actually, I had not.
Neither had I.
I should have paid more. Well, I actually want to know more about, because the church has something to do with Joan of Arc. It has a lot to do with the Madonna. It has, I don't know the history, but it has a link to goddess worship. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism within the church. And it's going to be interesting to me to see what things did survive. Because they did get a lot out of there. Because remember, even though there was a lot of fire, it was above them by about 3 stories. So they were able to get quite a bit out. Not the big statues, of course. I mean, that one that it was like the altar. It was really amazing. But an interesting thing. So
that thing you posted in the chat room, that's a Knights Templar thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that is okay. The one that is up on the Notre Dame itself, you know, at the top that we're looking at, is a more fancy version, but that is the image of the Knight Templars. And the image itself, I mean, he started to explain it to me, and I'm like, wow. So, well, tomorrow he'll explain it all. If anybody, you know, we get these things in the archives, and they'll go, we always put the 5G up on YouTube, so. But if you don't hear it, I'll remember it. I'll tell you next week what it was. Or and say what. So,
we should ask our out-of-towner family if they know anything about that.
They're going to tell you that they don't pay any attention to that stuff.
I got to ask.
Well, you can ask.
Yeah.
I did get the books. I haven't even opened.
I saw that. Yeah,
I opened the package. Yeah. So, well, we got 5 minutes before the break. Is there anything else you want to say about that? I mean,
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't like this feeling I'm having right now, because when we started talking about it, that's when I got deserted.
I don't think they deserted you. It's just not, they don't mess around in this thing.
I've never felt them not here before. I don't like this feeling.
Check under the bed.
And they don't let you ask where are they?
I'm asking. Where are you? I get nothing.
Yeah, they're very respectful to the sheriff.
So,
I get a smell. I'm getting a smell.
Okay, what would you like to talk about that would be more conducive to bringing them back into the room?
Aquarius, I think it was. Let me get the chat open here. Our chat. Aquarius said, "Can Nancy talk more about her remote viewing experience? So interesting."
Well, there's not much more to say, you know. That one. I mean, if remote viewing is everybody can do it. It's not some secret. But you have
James is saying on Friday a female jihadist was jailed for 8 years for her part in a bomb plot outside Notre Dame in 2016. So, back to your... I'm sorry. I had to interrupt. I don't know why I had to interrupt you.
Because you saw something.
Yeah, I saw the turtle flock flying over. I am really discombobulated right now. Holy cow.
Hey, where's Flevoland? Flevoland.
Ooh, I never heard of
what?
It.
What?
Yeah, if you look down at the map, I've got the chat room opened and I can see the map. And see, it's right up now. Well, it's on mine that way. Drawn 10... Flevoland.
I don't know what you are.
What map?
Skype chat?
The globe on the...
I see what you're saying. Yeah, where is that?
What? I don't understand. What are you looking at, radio chat? Yes.
There's a globe at the bottom on the radio chat. If you go down to the bottom, on the left side, there's a globe that turns around. It tells where people who are listening are from. Dronten Flevoland. Very interesting.
I'm Googling it.
Oh, I was going to say we need to Google it.
I'm putting it in. Of course, it's all crazy. Province.
Send the posse an email. And we'll
Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Netherlands. Wow,
well,
interesting.
Isn't that Aquarius? Where's Aquarius from? Oh, I thought it was in... It's an N word, isn't it? I don't know. I can't think right now.
Okay, so we probably got everybody just bored to tears because we're just sitting here...
Gabbering.
Okay, so Walt gave me something that I'm supposed to play... And, oops, what happened? Something happened. Okay, here we go now.
Germany. Aquarius is from Germany. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ocean Lab Ashes, is that what it is? No, Deep Forest.
No, I sent you, it's called...
Deep Forest Sweet Lullaby?
That's the one.
Okay,
it's a shorter one. It's only 3 minutes.
It's only 3 minutes. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, okay. 3 minutes, here comes at you. Welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. This is April 16th, 2019. Nancy Hopkins here, Walt Silver's here, and Dolly Howard's here. And so, well, you want to read some of the Fulford, do you?
Well, wait a minute, I got to tell you.
Oh, what?
Oh, my angels came back.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Thank God.
I know, I knew, I found out what was happening, so I told them it's okay.
What, you gave permission to her posse to come back? What's this?
No,
about?
No. They were, I think that amplifies the work of the pond, so they're scared of it. So I said, is this thing scaring you? So I instructed the power to leave them alone, leave them untouched. They don't have to be afraid of it. I didn't know it was going to be detecting it over Skype, but.
Say you're that, breaking up, Paul.
Yeah, say that again, because you were breaking up really bad.
Yeah.
You've seen it on
the... He's breaking up.
I have a... Oh, okay. You want me to hang up and call back?
No, try it again.
Okay, which part did you miss?
All of it.
Yeah, all of it.
Okay, so let's make it super simple. I built something, and it's so strong that the posse were kind of concerned that it's, you know, going to affect them. So I said, no, I instructed the device to leave them alone. You know, don't touch them. They belong to Dali. So I said, you know, you don't have to be afraid. It's not going to affect you. That's why I knew they were coming back.
Well, I'm glad you told them, because I feel much better. I really felt horrible, awful. I had never been deserted by them before.
I had no idea that it was so many magnitudes of strength, so much more powerful than it was before.
Wow.
Well, what were you doing messing around with Dolly's posse?
I wasn't.
Device?
I'm working with my stuff for MySpace. I had no idea that it was so strong that their people were going to pick up on it.
It bled over. Wow.
So now every time we start a show, we have to say, Walt, have you put your toys away? And I'm using toys. I didn't say junk.
Well, it just goes to show, you know, if you know, a big dum-dum like me can make something like this, then nobody has a good excuse to not make their reality and feel completely powerful. Every one of us should feel completely empowered and be afraid of nothing at all. No 5G, no cabal, no nothing. We should fear nothing, because even insignificant little things are so powerful that they can do this change. And I thank your posse for giving me this phenomena that happened to you, because it gave me a way to gauge this, to gauge how powerful it is. Nothing that I make is for destruction. Everything that I make is, you know, an assist. Sometimes things are so powerful, I guess, and give them pause, not knowing what it's for. So, because the last instruction that I gave the device is to transmute all louche everywhere into love. Because when that happens, you know, the bad guys use human pain and suffering and fear to feed themselves.
They use what?
You know, they
woke up.
Okay, have you heard of David Wilcock talking about this thing, louche?
Yes, I know what louche is.
Okay, what I instructed is to do, to transmute all louche to love.
Wow.
So where is any, you know, any of that stuff, it has to be turned into love. So if they don't have any food, they have to leave the neighborhood, because they have to go get their food and somewhere else. I'm done being a piece of cattle for all these entities. I don't know about you. I don't like the idea of being a cow.
Yeah, you'll be eliminated for your
initiative. Why are you a cow and not a sheep?
Yeah. Or a goat.
It's all livestock to them, so.
Oh, gosh. All right, so you want to read Fulford?
Okay, let's go. Let's go. The posse's back. Did you ask them if they forgive me?
Oh, do you forgive me? Yes, they do.
Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you for that test.
They didn't realize it was going to put me into such a state of panic. Now they know. Now you know your thing and they know their thing. Don't mess with me.
Yeah, don't take the posse away from the sheriff. Okay. The report is dated yesterday. Washington, D.C. suffers from political insanity as bankruptcy approaches. Yay, because that'll get rid of the corporate government and we'll have the republic back. The U.S. body politic has degenerated to gibberish and empty threats as bankruptcy and collapse are now a mathematical certainty. That's because the March 29th Brexit made it so that, in quotes, the City of London is no longer the finance capital of the cabal, close quotes. Both British intelligence and Pentagon sources confirm. When asked, how is President Donald Trump responding to this? A senior British intelligence officer said, probably in panic by this time, to be very honest. Let's step back a bit and look at what happened so far this year, U.S. government. First of all Americans withdrew from the presidency as January 1st. Then the U.S. government shut down for 35 days. Even the U.S. military stayed fully financed. When the U.S. government reopened, Trump filled his cabinet with Beijing Zionist neocons. Managed to keep operations going by stealing the American people's tax refunds and hiking U.S. gas prices. While this gave the debt-addicted Washington, D.C. another sugar, it has begun to kill the U.S. economic recovery. Trump, meanwhile, has been talking like a bankrupt junkie trying to convince everybody that great event happening by saying things like Saudi Arabia will buy $450 million worth of weapons, etc., or China will buy more than $1 trillion worth of goods from the U.S. The reality is that Saudi Arabia has only agreed to buy $14.5 billion worth of U.S. exports. Also, even if China agreed to buy $1 trillion worth of overpriced U.S. goods, the fact is that the U.S. economy does not have the capacity to create these goods. In any case, China is seriously thinking of declaring Washington, D.C. bankrupt, according to Asian Secret Society sources. And he gives two links there. The Trump administration is now trying to keep itself afloat by forcing countries to buy its expensive shale and gas. That's the reason for U.S. sanctions on Iran, Venezuela, and Russia, as well as for attacks on Syria and Yemen. But this strategy is failing because the main oil importers, Europe, China, Japan, and India, have no interest in expensive U.S. oil and gas, and these countries are not going along with U.S. sanctions. For a good analysis of this situation, I recommend the article below by Terry Mason, the person who first scooped the 9/11 truth. I don't know. Nancy has written a book about it. Maybe she has heard the name of this person.
What, say it again, please.
I will. Hold on a second. I'm going to post the article in the radio chat. Okay, there it is. And I will copy-paste the name of this person. He says, Terry Mason. I don't know if it's...
No, I don't know.
French,
I don't know.
Who first scooped the 9/11 truth. Here is the name on chat. So, okay. So, go on. Pentagon's... Note that arrest and sentence of former Venezuelan military intelligence chief Army General Hugo Carvajal has made the military even more loyal to Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro as the neocon coup failed royally. This means the world's oil reserves remain the cabal's petrodollar. Arch capitalist Henry Kissinger has been trying desperately and quickly save the D.C. establishment and his petrodollar system by cashing bonds worth quadrillions of dollars, according to Japanese imperial family sources. These bonds will never be cashed, the sources say. Instead, something called the QFS, Quantum Financial System, is being implemented. Multiple sources agree. Since Japan's financial markets will be closed for 6 days, between April 27th and May 6th, which would be the longest financial market and bank closure since the end of World War II, it's a good bet the transition will be implemented there. The person who created the quantum financial system says, maybe Nancy can add more to this because Nancy, when she was in the, she was a tactician and a strategist. So maybe you can add more to this. The person who created the quantum financial system says it has its origins in a, quotes, war college power transition theory that was used in the nation of Great Britain pinpoint accuracy. CIA sources, for their part, Brexit is not about Europe or the UK alone. It is a huge satanic game with some senior members of parliament being threatened if they leave the Club of Rome. Things are trying to shift, but the old guard will literally eat them alive should they try to escape. Now, according to MI6 source, the world's armed forces and their intelligence arms are using this power model to create a global alliance of sovereign states to collapsing new world. The alliance of sovereign nations would also back the creation of a global force such as the World Future Planning Agency, says the source, who is a senior member of the traditional 13 ruling bloodlines. The source was one of the key behind the military counterintelligence operation that was central to the recent liberation of Great Britain. The operation to liberate the UK was triggered by whistleblowing, by this person when he worked on sovereign debt markets at the Italian and Vatican desk, Barclays Bank. This whistleblowing led to the Libor rigging scandal. Here's his summary of the importance of this scandal. In quotes, the manipulation of the rates using a chat forum on Bloomberg became the largest ever complex financial fraud in history and has, in the endgame, bankrupted the entire industry and totally altered the trajectory of geopolitics, both overt and covert. Now he says the BIS, which is the clearing bank of all clearing banks, the IMF and the World Bank, will be removed entirely because they have fundamentally failed humanity and have committed various crimes against it. Of course, the Hazarian is not going to take its control of these institutions and corrupt systems without a fight. Last week, they stole an election in Israel to keep Satan-worshipping mass murderer Benjamin Netanyahu in power. Then, to distract public attention away from this electoral fraud, they stage a series of fake news events. And I capture this picture, put it on the chat because people are going to love this. This is so funny. An Israelite moon landing. Think about it. Okay. Okay, so this picture goes with the part I'm going to read. Then to distract attention from electoral fraud, stage a series of fake news. Israel staged a fake moon landing. The photo was sent to a Jewish source with a comment. Attached is the fake photo of the fake Israeli moonshot. Note the perfect shot of the star of Satan clearly. They also put out a fake first image of a black hole that was widely derided as soon as it was put out. This did not prevent Hazarian slave writers in publications like The Guardian or The New York Times to take this photo release as a cue to describe Brexit as a black hole. Then, of course, they staged the so-called arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. We will not write about this, this farce has been widely exposed elsewhere. However, we note that the video and still images of the event came from a single source, Russia Today, which is a telltale sign of a computer graphic fake. We also note that Julian Assange did not appear once on his balcony at the Ecuadorian embassy in London after he was visited in 2016 by Pamela Anderson. Here is Jim Stone's WikiLeaks timeline, and he gives a series of dates. October 23rd, 2016, WikiLeaks director Gavi McFadden, April 16, 2016, WikiLeaks lawyer John Jones dead, jumped in front of a train. May 11th, 2016, WikiLeaks chief counsel Michael Ratner dead. October 16, 2016, Pamela Anderson brings Assange lunch, claims he's not feeling well after eating it. And on October 17, Assange had his internet cut. They also faked a WikiLeaks data dump that had no really important disclosures in it. You can be sure they did not mention 9/11 truth or Fukushima or other such crimes against humanity. Fukushima was a terrorist attack and a very serious international incident which has gone grossly underreported in the world's press, the MI6 source said. He added, this extremely serious matter would be a major subject of upcoming war crimes tribunals. In any case, and the interesting thing about all these stage events is how they are now being immediately debunked, showing how much the Azerian mafia has lost its power to manipulate public opinion. Despite these hysterical efforts to distract attention away from their crimes, the dragnet is closing in on the Azerian mafia, especially their base of operations in Israel. On this front, Pentagon sources note that Trump tweeted, "We will never forget," with what Nancy Pelosi called painful images of 9/11, in reply to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar saying, some people did something on 9/11, and this now becomes a politically correct national conversation prior to truth bombs taking down Israel. Now, former U.S. Central Command Chief Army General John Abizaid has been confirmed 92-7 as U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia, making him the de facto military governor of the Middle East, the sources say. This happened as Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi told Trump at the White House that Egypt won't be part of the Arab NATO, making Iran the undisputed leader in the region, the Pentagon sources added. The regime changes that took place or are about to take place in Libya, Sudan, and Algeria are all connected to this resurgence of Middle Eastern and Muslim unity. It looks like Benjamin Netanyahu will face historical justice by having the satanic Zionist project collapse under his watch. One final note this week, a ruling bloodline source confirmed to me that Hazarian Mafia does use predictive programming. That is to say, they do things like air TV programs about just jetliners crashing into the World Trade Center buildings before staging the actual event. That reminded me of when I was working for Forbes magazine. A novel was published in which the Tokyo bureau chief of Forbes magazine was killed with a weapon that causes heart attacks. A few years later, I was attacked by an individual carrying a white cylindrical device at Nagata-cho train station in Tokyo. The device fit the description of the heart attack weapon described in the novel. Well, here is some predictive programming of my own. I see Benjamin Netanyahu in handcuffs at a military tribunal as he hears his death sentence being read out to him. I also predict the Israeli military police will jail him and negotiate a two-state solution while they still have the chance to do so. The alternative will be for Israel's Jews to end up in a Turkish ghetto. And that's the final period. So that caught my attention, the thing about the War College Power Transition Theory. But I don't know if Nancy has heard of anything like that when she was in the Army.
Well, no, I don't really. I do want, what, now, he's claiming that the picture that you showed in chat with the, I don't even remember what it said, something about, you know, a small country, big mission or something, that looks like a selfie.
Yeah, it's a fake moon landing.
Well, I don't think it is. I absolutely do not think it is. Now, again, synchronicity. Last night, I saw an entire hour of the people that actually did this. And it started with Google and, well, what's that X? What do they call it? SpaceX. Doing a contest where they were going to give millions of dollars to somebody that could get to the moon. And all these people started to, you know, promote, you know, this idea or that idea. And these kids in Israel, they got extremely close to being able to try it when, for some reason, and I just phone call or something, I didn't get why they canceled the, you know, the contest. But this guy who's like gave them money to start out, he put up another $100,000 or something to get them through that last hurdle. And they did things, I mean, it was fascinating the whole way that they did it, because, and this was taken over a matter of years, this film, because this, they started to, you know, document what they were doing. And like the legs of this lander that they had created were made with 3D printing, because they could quickly manufacture the legs and then test it and make changes very quickly and inexpensive. So they did a lot of innovative kind of work with it, and it was fascinating in and of itself. But this thing was really small. I mean, it's not very big at all. And what they did,
it was more like a probe.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was, you know, they just need to get this on the lunar surface, and they were going to win, like I say, at least $1 million. I don't remember how much it was. But this, you know, guy that had been with them for so many years, and you know that this is true, because this guy, when he gives them the money, by the time he gives them another $100,000, you can see he is aged, you know? But what I loved about this whole concept was, you know, when they did the Apollo, they took a very big, powerful engine and got them very high in orbit. And then another big engine took and shot them towards the moon. So within 4 days, they're at the moon. Well, that cost an enormous amount of money in engine and fuel and everything else. So what these kids did is they designed I think it took them like 21 days. But what they did was they kept slingshotting the little probe around the Earth. And just like a swing, when you swing it and it can get higher and higher. Okay, so that's what they were doing. And they had a glitch. They showed where all of a sudden, at the moment they were supposed to do the correction to take it to the moon, they lost the computer, but they were able to get it back and then do mathematics. All right, we're here. Now how do we get there? And so before when they were leaving, you know, close to Earth, they were still fairly close to Earth. The Earth was behind them, just like the moon is behind them in that picture. Mm-hmm. There was another shot where the Earth, you could see the whole Earth. Well, most of the whole Earth, the circle of it. And, you know, so they had taken this first picture as they were leaving Earth. And this picture that you're talking about now was taken as, of course, they were landing on the moon. And everything was going perfectly well up until about 100 feet off the, I think they said 100 feet, when they detected that the engine, instead of slowing it down, actually the speed increased and it crashed into the moon. And I mean, let's face it, if this is an artificial moon up there and there's ETs all over the place, they probably just zapped it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we don't need another spy device. you know, with cameras, taking pictures all over the place.
Right, but I do believe that, that this was actually, did happen. They even showed the whole putting it on the SpaceX, and, you know, that still is such a fascinating thing because, okay, so they've got the first stage, and then they've got this payroll section, and, you know, in the first, now the
you
second
stage.
Payload, I'm sorry, in the second stage. And when they separate between the first and the second stage, the first stage goes back to Earth and lands on a barge that's a drone barge. Nobody's on
it. Yeah, that's the SpaceX stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is just kind of, as many times as I see it, it's still kind of mind-bending. But the second stage, sort of, once it gets it up to height, it kind of like just poops out the payroll and then, you know, adjusts itself to get out of the way. And then the payroll is just payload. The payload is then, you know, doing whatever it's supposed to do. So they showed, you know, if this was some kind of a not happening thing, they sure went through a lot of time and trouble to show me that out.
Many years ago, I can't remember what, I was living here in Minneapolis, and a friend invited me to a lecture. And the lecture was being given by this man who is a mathematics professor at UCLA, Berkeley. And it was interesting because primarily the purpose of the lecture was his experience with a gigantic UFO when he was driving through Montana. But the lecture went in other directions because he started telling a story of how he was approached by the Chinese space program. And I wish I could remember the man's name. Very, very easy to talk to. I mean, he took a lot of my questions and he thanked me for the questions because he hadn't thought about some stuff, but that doesn't come to the point. The thing was that his thing that he was really into was chaos theory and all the math behind it, because that's his thing. He's a mathematics professor, and he had already done a lot of the calculation that he figured out that you could get to the moon by playing with the gravitational fields on all those gravitational tides and on the forces between the celestial bodies. He says, if you do the math correctly, you don't need to have a multi, you know, $1 million ballistic shot, because he says, that's the way NASA was doing the space program when they went to the moon. It's just a big giant cannon, like you said, you know, put a ton of fuel in and just shoot the damn thing in the direction of the moon. And he says, you don't need to do that. It takes longer to get to the moon, but you can get there with very little fuel if you know how to, you know, work with all these energies and all these forces. So he actually wrote a book about the chaos theory. And I don't know how long after he wrote the book, he was surprised that somebody went to visit him. A friend knocked on his door in his office at Berkeley. And he says, you know, there are some people I think you should meet. They're really interested in your work. But he didn't give them any details. So he says, oh, they want to talk about this thing, which is a subject that he loves. And he agreed to meet them. And then when he meets them, he finds out that they're actually representing the Chinese space program. They identified as coming from that. And he says, that's how the Chinese did it. And I don't know how many days it took them to get to the moon, but they actually used the essence of his work. They use that chaos theory calculations to get the probe to the moon without that multi-million dollar ballistic shot. So it sounds like this is what these guys did. As you were explaining it.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. You know, so another one of Fulford's things that I disagree with.
Well, you have to agree that the photo looks kind of, I don't know, doctored.
Well,
you know,
yeah. Unless you accept the thing that it was on the vehicle, just, you know, yes, of course they put that there. They set it up to have the picture taken. you know, but the fact that the picture is real, I think it's real because of what I saw last night. And again, if this wasn't real, my guides wouldn't have had me watching an hour show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you there, Dolly? Uh-oh.
Yep.
She's having tea with a posse now that they're back.
I'm enjoying the feel. My mom said if I don't have anything nice to say, to not say anything at all. So I'm being quiet.
Do you have your microphone up or something?
No, it's here.
Maybe it's my earphones because I still have got my earphones all...
Wait a minute. Is this better?
That's a little better. Yeah, thank you.
I turned up the volume because when you played the music, it blasted my ears out, so I turned the volume down.
Oh.
And then I forgot.
Oh. Yeah. So,
see, to me, you sound really loud right now. That's why I had the volume down a little.
I sound loud?
Yeah, to me.
Oh,
that's why I turned my volume down.
I don't ever change anything, but from show to show, it seems like I'm loud, I'm soft, I'm...
Yeah. Colleen always had that problem, too. And Dave.
Anyway, well,
he's back. He's telling me don't go there.
Don't go where?
With this volume.
Oh.
Okay.
The challenge of all radio producers, huh?
So, what else did you guys run into this week? It seemed like every time I looked on Facebook, there was something else that was really sort of interesting. I'm pulling up Facebook to see if anything jumps out at me.
I didn't get much time on Facebook. I was very busy this week.
Yeah, planning your demise.
Yes. We signed those final papers at the attorney this afternoon. Cool. I can go, but I can't go until at least 20 days to make sure the beneficiary changes got in.
Oh, my goodness.
There's always a reason. See, they always give me a goal. Well, no, you can't do it now because you got to wait this many days for this to happen. So it just continues. And I chuckle about it. Okay.
When you're dying, it would be so difficult.
Oh, I know what I wanted to... Am I muted? No, I'm not. Okay,
no.
I know what I wanted to read because you had somebody that wrote to you about Notre Dame. And I'm not going to get into the physics of it, that Jupiter was there and blah, blah, blah. But what she said concerning it, that kind of the, you know, overall view was kind of interesting. So I'm just going to read that. Today we saw, maybe we don't want to go back to Notre Dame?
Oh, I don't know. Well, wait, are we okay to go back to that comment from the Lady Angels? Yes, we're okay.
Today we saw Notre Dame, a symbol of the false construct of religious control and manipulation, burned down on the start of Holy Week. How about them apples? It is so symbolic for the structure to burn, as fire represents truth, and it must cleanse all that is a lie. The truth is coming to life in one way or another. The church was built during a time when darker art and architecture was being built, while the main point of beautiful places such as the Notre Dame are for the higher purposes of love, it was flipped and used as a representation of the dark. These low vibrational places must be cleansed and cleared as we move forward to the new earth. This is why such a monumental place caught on fire. It signifies something much bigger than what the lower ego programmed mind can comprehend. When you view this event from a higher perspective, you can see the bigger picture of what is unfolding, and it will create a sense of peace knowing that what is happening now on the planet is happening for the highest possible outcome for humanity and all of creation. I like to think of it that way.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Did I comment to that, or did I just hit like?
Oh, I don't know what you did.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute, I'll look.
I thought seeing as you were there.
Well, no, I was reading. I clipped that out so I could have
Okay.
Yep. So, okay, so what else is happening here?
What's happening with Oak Island?
Oak Island?
Yeah. Oh, Oak Island. I thought he said O'Cali. What? Who's that? I'm just so afraid they're going to have to quit before. The people went on strike and it really messed things up. They were last week. And I can't remember. I know I was all excited about last week's show, but right now I can't remember what happened. Can you, Nancy?
Yes, of course I can. Just a minute. I'm going through the files now. Where is Oak Island from last week? Okay, well, it opens up and they are in strike. So what they decide to do is to actually start digging in the Smith Cove to go back there and start, you know, figuring out what's happening. But what was kind of interesting was that they brought on that guy, Dolly. They brought on two guys in the last couple of weeks. And the one of them showed the map and how Nolan's Cross. Now, Nolan is a guy that lives on Oak Island. And,
well, he used to.
Well, he used to. He died, I think, last year.
Last year, I think.
But he found a series of rocks that were obviously larger than should be there, and they were shaped in the same kind of shape. And when he plotted them out, they seemed to be a cross. And so then this other guy comes along and he says, this was like 2 weeks ago, he says, well, he says, remember what you got there. If they are Knight Templars, then they are navigators. And so they're not thinking in terms of a Christian cross. They're thinking in terms of navigational points. So he takes and he starts drawing a line between the rocks in a different way than others had done it. Not so much a cross, but as if it were, you were taking an azimuth reading. And sure enough, three of them, you know, crossed over each other at the same point on the island. And they're all like, well, that's really interesting, but they didn't do anything about it. And I found that interesting. You know, I mean, I would have been out there. I would have been out there with some kind of you know, deep radar penetration to see.
They kind of blew the guy off.
Yeah, but then they talked about him really nice.
Yeah, so they always do that.
Yeah, no, but I that made me wonder because I think I've told you I think there's a back door.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe they've already gone through the back door and there's nothing down there anyway. You're just taking us for a ride.
You mean Al Capone's
safe again?
Say again?
You mean Al Capone's safe again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, okay, there was a question earlier about the remote viewing, and if you haven't been with us for a while, I've been asked, you know, why don't you just do a remote viewing of Oak Island and find out what's down there? Well, I like mysteries. I don't want to cheat. I had no, you know, specific need or mission to do so. But I did take a peek. And when I went down there, they were over it. They actually were over it. Well, right next to it and semi over it, which has caused it to be driven deeper. And it's like a big room. But when I went down and I followed the pipe down, and then I'm outside of this room thing. And I had this distinct warning, do not go through that barrier. And I don't ever question those. I just, okay, won't do this, you know. But my sense of it was that there was something on the other side of that wall that was something device-like, maybe the Ark of the Covenant, but some kind of a device thing that I just didn't want to, in any way, shape, or form, get near. So I do this, you know, and then it wasn't even 2 weeks later. I come across a YouTube video where one of the people from the Far Side Institute did a remote of Oak Island, and he had the same story. I mean, it was like same story. You know, he got down there, he felt the room, he knew there was something there. He said, "I'm not going any further."
That's Egyptian technology. That's what they used to do in the tombs.
Oh yeah, well, whatever's there is, I mean. You know, when you've been with this show for this long and you've seen the crazy-ass things that happen,
yeah,
you know, you really do. You wonder, maybe we shouldn't be playing here.
Mm-hmm. Because 1 minute something is there, and then they go back and it's not there again at all. I think the island is alive and reacting.
Well, the thing that, you know, from all everything you've said up to this point in your watching of the show and following the story and the things they've done, I get it that they poured a ton of money into this and they've done their best to avail themselves of mining technology and strategy and all of that. So I'm going to ask the question because I don't know, maybe they have done it and I'm out of line, but among older investments, they should have invested in one or two psychics to assist them along the way, the same way that law enforcement in the past have used psychics to locate missing people or people that have disappeared and are actually dead somewhere, and they are able to find the bodies or evidence to lead to the body. They should have availed themselves of,
well, you're of assuming people. That these people know and think that way. They they don't think that way.
No.
There's a treasure, and they're digging it up. You know, that's so not...
They're just going at it the way.
Well,
yeah.
You have this interesting duality of the brothers, because you've got Marty, who is just like, this is a business thing for him. It started out with him loving his brother so much that, okay, yeah, let's just take a look, figuring it'd be an easy thing, you know? And turned out it wasn't. But his brother he just wants, it's like this puzzle that he needs to get, you know how you get things in your head and you need to get it out? That's what it's like with him. And you see the wear on Rick. Rick? What's the brother's name?
Rick.
Rick, okay.
For some reason, are you talking Marty?
No, I'm saying Rick. All of a sudden, Rick didn't seem right. You can see the wear and tear on him. Now, he's a little older than Marty, but the intriguing part is, even though I don't think that he was metaphysical, I think it's this hunt. He's very much into the history and telling the truth and finding out find out what it's all about, this mystery. And they keep running into the Templars. And last week they had this other guy on and that was interesting. He was able to show, let me see if I can get this straight. Okay, I know from my research that a good portion of, let's say, the core power of the Templars after the mass, you know, wrestling thing in 1308, I think it was, they went to Scotland, and that place that rose, what do they call that thing?
Rosicrucian?
No, not Rosicrucian. The building in there, the church thing that is so prevalent in Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code, Roslyn Castle. That was, in fact, a Freemason thing. So I could track them, you know, as a researcher, I could track them to Scotland, but then nothing. There's no indication where they went. And this guy is able to basically show that they went and became... They bought nobility. Remember those that whole thing? It was about they paid to be knighted and yeah. then were given... I don't know if it was Nova Scotia. It was one of the Canadian areas, right there, right next to Oak Island. And it's a specific nobility class thing. And he traced them. So he looked at these people and he said, so I can tell you that what you've got on Oak Island was a depository for these Knight Templars, the families of Knight Templars. Because they came over, I think it was in the 1600s. And, you know, that corresponds to the whole concept of where does the word bank come from? It comes because the Knight Templars used to put stashes of money along the sides, along the edges of rivers, on the banks of rivers or banks of an island or something. So it's very, very fascinating to see this.
So that means that only a Templar would know how to access whatever is down there.
Yes, and that's why I keep saying there's got to be a back door.
And they have Templar. They have Masonic peoples working on yeah. the crew.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... that. Well, well, I can't think of his name now. But one of the
Barkhouse?
Huh?
Barkhouse?
Yes, yes, yes. Charles. Charles.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. He's worn a Masonic cap, baseball cap.
A lot lately, yes. Yeah. I noticed.
So maybe the thing is like a time capsule that's only meant to be open at a specific historical time.
There's something more than just trying to dig for it, that's for sure. Yeah, but we're going into another season, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So we got 10 minutes here. Do you want to tell us about that device that you... Oh, you told us it was for the louche. To get rid of the louche. Say what?
What I requested that I do. I requested that it transmute louche into love because I have a bunch of maps under it, so it's working on different areas. Nothing forbidden, it's just maps of people that want to be protected and stuff like that. I don't do stuff without people's permission, so I'm not like that. I know that there are people that would love to do stuff with Washington D.C. and stuff. I'm not touching that stuff because you're getting your hands, you're getting involved where there's some major dark magics and nobody invited you. So don't complain if it blows up in your face.
I will. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that was really interesting about that Unearthing America was the area of the District of Columbia. I talk about it all the time, you know. It's 10 square miles. That's what it is. That's where the government of the United States exists, in 10 square miles. But these guys went down there, and they actually found the stone markers that marked off this 10 square miles. There's 40 of them. And when you look at it, and the reason that, you know, it's interesting how your brain works. I knew there was something always kind of off about this 10 square miles. And then I realized, because they were telling me, and I remembered something before, that the way that they did 10 square miles, but what happened was Washington extended it down so that it got a diamond shape to it so that Alexandria would become part of the District of Columbia. And it was just...
Is Alexandria part of the District of Columbia?
Yes.
No.
I didn't know that.
Well, I think it is. That's what they said.
Well, it could be. I'm not good with history. We weren't taught very good with history.
It was really very interesting to see that, you know. And again, the diamond is another goddess symbol. They were pointing out goddess symbols all over the place. I mean, the top of the capital, it's Columbia. And people think that it's Columbia because of Columbus. No, it's Columbia is a god, and it's the god of freedom. And, you know, all these goddess symbols all over Washington. So it's, you know, Scott wants to say that the Freemasons, you know, and the Knight Templars, it's very likely that the Knight Templars were goddess worshippers. But that, you know, it's a secret part of them, which made me think of the day that one day, because I've talked about this before with JP, and, you know, I said, you know, we're talking about Gaia, and I said, you know, my feeling is the dark side bet that Gaia didn't exist, and they were wrong. And all of a sudden he says to me, what G? He says, you think that G in the middle of the Masonic symbol means Gaia? You know? And at the time...
What do they say it means?
Geometry.
Geometry, yeah. Wow.
But that, you know, and when they were talking about this, they actually were showing the G and talking about the geometry and the sake, because geometry is, in Masonic, the way the Masonics look at it, of a female energy, geometry. And I was like, I don't know anything about this. The way, and this was the guy that was the head of the biggest Masonic, the Masonic temple in Washington. He's like the spokesman.
Well, you know what the word means, right?
What's that, huh? What word?
Geometry means measurement of the earth. They trace, I mean, at least one source that I read that the term, it's a Greek term, but in reality the term comes from Egypt, because what would happen is, you know, that, well, now they have the giant Aswan in ancient times when Nile had no one. The river has a seasonal flooding. There comes a time of the year where the river floods and it floods the banks, because the banks are not elevated like a cliff. They're very shallow. So what would happen is that's where they would do their planting, their cultivation. You know, once the river recedes and it goes back to normal level, all that land has now been fertilized by the river. But here's the thing, is that how do we tell whose property is what? So what, we have to go back and we have to measure it. So we have to measure the land, geometric, measure the land. And that's why they had to know trigonometry and all of that, because once the river floods, all the markers disappear, unless you have a gigantic stone monolith, sticks and posts and stuff like that. Everything gets washed away by the river. So every time the waters recede, you measure the land to determine, you know, this is your parcel, that's his parcel, and so on and so forth. So that's where the term came from. The measurement of the land, geometry.
Well, you know, talking about maps, have you seen the Shanghai grid map?
I haven't gone into it. I've seen the post, but I haven't opened the post.
That's so much fun, because Derek put it up because he had done that 4,200-mile circle thing. And then other people started putting it in there. You know, well, it's gotten so big. I said to Derek, I said, you know, not this week, but, you know, we got to probably put up areas of the world maps of Shanghai. It's gotten so big, you know, so that people can go, because the list goes on and on and on and on and on, you know, and if you want to find something, it's crazy. So, but it's so heartening to see how much actually there is an enlightenment going on, you know, even if you just look at the Shanghai, how far, I mean, when I got the mission to get Shanghai to the masses, it's like, yeah, we did that. You know, if we quit right now, Shanghai's got a life of its own. Not that I'm about to quit.
Yeah,
you know, it's the people that come up, they come up with some really insane ideas. And please don't snort this stuff.
Oh.
Seriously, somebody asked on Shungite Reality, if you want to know about Shungite and meet some really nice people, Shungite Reality Facebook group. Somebody asked if, you know, what we thought about snorting powder so that it would go to the pineal gland, or I don't know. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, okay, let me put it to you this way. Shungite is an incredible healing field of energy. But if you take a boulder of it and you drop it on your head, you will die. You know, if you breathe this stuff in, you're going to get black lung, just like they do in coal mines. Please do not snort Shungite.
I saw that and I thought, ooh, I'm letting Nancy answer that one.
Oh, my God, it was so strange.
I didn't even want to comment.
Well, that person never came back. I don't know. I think maybe sometimes I get set up, you know. Some troll comes in and, you know, says something.
I've thought of that many times. I thought, well, as long as we're telling the truth, we're fine.
That's, you know, because they don't come back, and I answered your question. As idiotic as I may think some of these things are.
Uh-huh.
It's funny how if they would face Shungite more along the lines of energy as opposed to material, they would be closer to the truth and understanding of the Shungite, because it's mostly energy. The physical, if anything, is like a placeholder for what it is. But, you know, a lot of people just live by their five senses and don't see beyond the five senses. It's a rock. There's nothing else. You know?
Well, it's not. It's magic in a rock. But we're at the top of the hour, so listen, thank you so much, both of you. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on with talking about, you know, the significance of Notre Dame with Michael Henry Dunn, and getting into some 5G, very interesting stuff that's happened. And also, I would remind you that Dolly's going to be reading at 4 to 6, and that's always so much fun. And she's also on from 6 to 8 tomorrow. So, you guys want to...
6 to 8?
6 to... I'm sorry. No, no.
4 to 6.
You're 4 to 6 for Dolly Reads, but then Dolly Shares is 7 to 8.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I was confused. I'm very tired. I apologize.
You've had a busy day.
She's just getting feedback. Be patient.
I have had a busy weekend and yesterday and today, and I'm just exhausted.
So good night, everybody in chat. Thank you for being here. We so just appreciate and are grateful for your support. You guys, say good night.
Sweet dreams and blessings all. Good night. Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Reaching the unknown.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening.
Choose your heart.